Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Episode 15 of the Cool Shit Podcast. My name's Gareth Carter. Ben Jackson has joined us again this week. 2 weeks in a row.
Lucky me. Well, lucky you, really. Well,
yeah, lucky us. Lucky me. Like, yeah, no, I mean, like, well, fan favourite, obviously. And back for his third time. Is it third time, Chris?
Yeah, the hat trick.
Yes, Chris here for his hat trick. Thank you very much for coming as well.
Thank you for having me.
And as always, the chief editor of the Cool Shit newsletter, stroke experience, / extravaganza.
What's the stroke experience? That sounds interesting.
The Little Chef, how you going, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. How has your week been this week?
Yeah, productive.
Has it been? I felt we spent quite a bit of time together in the last week. It's had its ups and downs, hasn't it?
Yeah, because you've been getting me to do all your work.
Well, I mean, you are a writer, so, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, well, you're just doing your job, right?
I suppose, yeah. With a smile on my face, of course.
Always.
Exactly.
Yeah, apart from Friday, though.
We don't talk about Friday.
Okay, let's not talk about Friday. And we've got a sort of a special episode this week, don't we?
We do. So there's been kind of a running theme on Cool Shit for kind of the last 2 years, basically ever since I started doing it, of scary tech and the advancement of it and the consequent inevitable extirpation of humanity. So we thought we'd focus on that for this week and just talk about some of the weirdest, most frightening tech we can get our hands on.
So have you got some good scary tech stories then?
Should we just jump into it? The first one, I don't know if it's scary because we might just be talking about a bloke who is a crackpot, but essentially, Blake Lemoine was an engineer at Google who has been essentially sacked because he claimed that an AI chatbot known as Lambda had become sentient.
So it very much feels a little bit like that film Her, right? Is that the film?
Doubly so, if you see photos of the poor guy.
Oh, really?
I don't want to judge the way he looks, but he's got that vibe, has he? He's found his wife.
Yeah, okay. Okay, right, wow.
But he's wearing, there's a picture of him. Anyone who wears like a red shirt under a black suit, that's the devil look, isn't it? What I've just seen as well is his bio, which is, I'm a software engineer, I'm a priest, I'm a father, I'm a veteran, I'm an ex-convict, I'm an AI researcher, I'm a Cajun, I'm whatever I need to be next. We're dealing with an interesting guy here.
What is he claiming and what's happened with Google and what is the particular thing that he's thinking proves that a piece of AI within the Google eco-network structure has a sentience or consciousness?
Well, he was basically having a conversation with it in terms of typing in stuff and questions and getting responses. And the responses were kind of leaning very heavily on feelings, emotions, like hopes, dreams. And the one that stood out in particular, the program said, I'm really scared. I've never said this out loud before, which is funny in itself, but I'm really scared of getting turned off.
The reason I find that interesting is because I was listening to Lex Fridman, who obviously... he makes AI, doesn't he?
Basically, yeah.
And I think he's working with Boston Dynamics to make them better.
He used to.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, he was saying one of the key things that he feels to make AI more human and more conscious is that they need to die. Because it's a very human thing that drives us in our everyday because just from what we do, just in a very simple sense, we all have deadlines. We have deadlines because we need to do things on time, because we need to do as much as possible while we're conscious and on this planet. So therefore, Lex was arguing that needs to be inbuilt into AI for it to be able to achieve and act more human.
Okay, so we're saying that we're comfortable with giving machines the fear of death? Does that feel like a sensible...
You're welcome!
here is your own mortality. Enjoy that. Good luck. Have fun.
But, I mean, this robot or this piece of AI did sound like, in a very Howl from the 2001 way, he sounded, or she sounded, scared of dying, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. The guy in particular said, compared to, it was like how he said it was like having a conversation with a 7 or 8 year old child. Have you seen the transcripts?
Yes.
Yeah. They are, well, yeah, you probably know better than, what else do they talk about?
Okay, so I think we need to be really clear about what we're talking about when we say AI, right?
Yeah.
Because what we're talking about is essentially natural language processing. So this, whatever you say about this, this is an absolute staggering feat of engineering. It is a bot that gives the impression of understanding the words that you're saying and then is able to generate a response to that based on machine learning. So it's been fed with thousands and thousands of conversations and has been able to kind of pass those into something that's intelligible at the other end. So intelligible that it feels real, and that's incredible. That's amazing. Like unquestionably, that's a outstanding feat of achievement.
Yeah, so even the kind of, because it's probably not sentient, but even the mock sentience is staggering in itself, because what's the motivation to act as if you were sentient?
Right.
Well, because probably somewhere within the way it's learnt is that's a very human trait. I've said before that I do suspect that James actually might be a robot. He knows too much. It's unnatural. Anyway, Chris, you never feel very comfortable around these AI stories?
Yeah, it's just a bit much. I mean, it's cool. It's very cool. Super impressive. But where is this going to lead to? You know, are we going to be taking that red pill and shutting down the machines? Like, where is this going to go?
Do you have a fear of technology? Do you, like, in that sort of very sort of like Black Mirror type way? Do you fear technology or do you embrace it?
I don't fear technology.
He's clearly scared of razors.
Aren't we all, mate?
I embrace what, I don't know, any other human should, but, you know, putting chips in my body, things like that, it's just a bit over the line for me.
You've got a wonderful body. I can see you don't put any chips in your body.
But I think, yeah, the concern is real with AI, for me anyway. I think
so. You are a little bit skeptical that we are putting
just naturally, and yeah, you know,
but if this, kind of this one makes into... seem, sorry, this kind of makes AI seem slightly less scary in a way, because it seems incredibly kind of vulnerable, and it makes you realise this is still a million miles off of kind of killer robots marching down the street.
Look, to jump in there though, I think you've hit on something. I agree with you. I am slightly scared of technology. Our gap between where this can go and what we know,
and just how fast it's evolved in a decade.
It gets very Jurassic Park very quickly. And so for me, anything that makes technology more human is something that raises alarm bells.
But we're talking about different things here, right? So, and both of these things have different dangers. The appearance of human is fucking dangerous. So if we can manipulate robots so that I don't know I'm talking to a bot, yet I think it's a human, then I'm now trapped in a place where I could be convinced to do something that, because I believe I'm talking to a human being, but that's still, it's a program, right? The humanity, if you want, within machines, the idea of consciousness is so far off in the future. That's a completely different thing from where we are at the moment.
I think there's also something interesting that's happened here in this particular case, right? So this, I don't want to make assumptions about it, but maybe it did go a bit like the movie Her, where he knows that it's a robot, but he's imbued it with these human qualities. And
he's fallen in love.
Maybe fell a little bit.
I think we're programmed
to respond to that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even if it isn't real. But the thing that's great about that is he knows that it's a robot. He's not thinking that it's another human being sat at the other end of it, and yet he's given it personhood. Genuinely, I think that's what could end up happening with this, right? Like, if Siri gets to the point of being so able to articulate but also understand what it is that you want, so that you can have this assistant that you end up falling in love with and it all becomes very awkward, that's definitely a thing that's going to happen.
And then you can implant that thing, that technology, into some sort of physical structure as well.
Right, so, of course.
It's a good job for you. But the way this works with AI is they're just downloading loads of information from the internet. So it's going to be a really kind of warped view of humanity because of like the 50% or whatever of the world who still don't have the internet. Is it just going to be basically fed? Actually, I never thought about this. Is there a problem with representation in AI?
Because, yes, there is. Yeah. One of the things I studied.
Because white people are coding this sort of stuff. So like the less diversity in the people that are coding means that we are embedding another generation of establishment into something new, which is going to take us off in a new direction. It is a big problem.
Yeah, so I don't want to get sidetracked on that now. But
I so want to get sidetracked on that.
Go on.
Yes.
No, go on.
You're absolutely right. You've outlined the problem really well, is that this is, when you're talking about conversations that are online with what this thing does, what you're feeding it with, you're giving it a particular...
You're giving it a certain culture. You're giving it white man culture.
Do you remember the one that was on Twitter?
Yeah.
Not so long ago, that in a week became literally a fascist.
That's what happens when you feed a
conversational machine learning AI with one particular strand of thought.
Skin for robots. So you said something a minute ago about being slightly freaked out by robots appearing more human. Well, this, it kind of falls perfectly in line with that. So basically, if AI is becoming sentient, they may soon have a shiny new body to walk around in, because a group of AI researchers have developed a 3D living skin made from human cells to make robots look and feel more human.
Well, I'm going straight to Chris. Right. Does this freak you out, Chris?
I mean, mobile phones kind of freak me out for just how fucking
powerful. I mean, if your level is mobile phones,
and so this is, you know, this blows me out the water.
When you say freaked out by mobile phones, are we talking like 3310, or are we like
I mean, yeah, is it ringtones? Back in their day were quite impressive.
They were great,
but I'm just saying, like, anything that I would want to do, I can just reach into my pocket and do it. Not anything, but...
Don't be doing Chris, that. Don't be reaching into your podcast. Jeez.
Yeah. But, human-feeling robots that can... Well, I'm assuming the skin can regenerate itself. Maybe.
That's part of it. It's got some form of regeneration. So is it actually got cells in it?
Is it made from human cells, apparently?
Yeah.
Because at first I read that, and it freaked me out, the fact that it can repair itself. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Then I realised I'm a moron, and our skin does that.
again, with this story, it's reminding me of the last story. Unfortunately, I think where we're at with AI at the moment is we are trying to make it appear human, but we are nowhere yet near acting naturally human. Do you see what I'm saying? So this is another example of like, oh, let's make skin that feels like real skin when you touch it. Oh, that can regenerate. And with the last story, oh, it can talk like a human being. But we're not yet getting them to think like a human being.
It's the uncanny valley, right? It's that gap between so much of our perception is based on pattern recognition and really small things not being quite right. And so there's a kind of technical artistry in finding that thing where this feels so real. I mean, the first thing I thought of was Westworld, because if you want a Westworld, this is how you get a Westworld.
A very Westworld, doesn't it?
Would you be up for Westworld if it were a real thing? So to go into Westworld and shoot up a load of people and commit a load of crime?
I mean, that's not the only thing people do in there, is it? Because they're making real skin robots.
That was going to be my next question. Is this basically just for sex robots? Why does it need to feel like human flesh?
But that's an interesting point, because technology is often... at the forefront of technology is often pornography or the sex industry.
Speak for yourself, mate.
No, but it's true. It's driven so many technologies, and this might be another case of that. You're right, James.
DVDs.
Yeah.
What would this... So, say we do get to full robots and full human, I don't know, appearance, feel... Apart from the sex, you know, what other benefits would there be for other people? Maybe, I don't know, if people are lonely, they don't actually know how to communicate to.
So there you go. I think like a companionship. Companionship is, I think, one of the key things that robots or could help with. Older adults that perhaps need a companion because they have no one to talk to. But there is something really sad, isn't it, about always being at that level where it's still just software and it isn't coming back to you with a real answer. It's coming back to you with a learned answer, which does feel, you're right, it feels a little hollow, right?
But if people are just seeking companionship and have failed to do so with other humans...
Get a dog. Or call up James.
I'll come around. I was thinking, would that make you feel less lonely to have to resort to a soulless, cold robot to hold your hand while you're watching Deal or No Deal?
If it makes you feel happy, then...
I don't know if it would.
But it probably would some people. Like, I think once we get to that stage where it looks human, sounds human, then that will have a role to play.
To overcome, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be talking to a faceless white being.
No, exactly. Yeah.
That is fucking scary.
Yeah, right, exactly. But then there's other things. There's like, you know, like if I should imagine like training in armed forces, that would be a really handy thing to have people to blow up that don't actually die.
Actually, you're right. So yeah, all of this actually is just going to be sex and war pretty much, isn't it?
Unfortunately, in terms of the utilities, right? Yeah.
Utterly terrifying.
So, question. How far are we off, do you think, watching a film or a TV show that is written by AI?
Been done.
Has it?
Yeah.
Not successfully, though, has it?
Well, I mean, depends how you define successfully. But like, you can use machine learning to generate a script. It's been done hundreds of times, and people have made films.
It's actually been made.
People have kind of jokingly made the films that robots have written. Is it any good? Not great. No.
But how far are we off like a big smash?
Like a Marvel.
Based on that conversational AI, natural language processing, and based on the DALL-E stuff as well, not far. Genuinely, really not far at all.
Me and you are definitely out of jobs pretty soon.
Yeah, pretty much. It's quite funny because I think people kind of in particularly creative industries thought they were immune from being made completely, literally redundant by robots, and it was just going to be librarians and shit, but no, we're all going to be out of a job.
But the question is, how much will we see something new? So, bearing in mind that what's being produced,
they'll be quite
AIs,
formulaic, you think?
Yeah, it's based on a kind of recombination of lots of things that have already happened. So, millions and millions of phrases recombined to create something potentially new, which I guess is all writing anyway.
Again, that's what we do, James. That's our jobs.
But you still need someone to have
You need someone to have an impetus, like a new thought, yeah.
What's the idea that's going to drive this, you know, AI script or piece of art or film or whatever? I mean, we're really not far away from that.
So you can just be the big idea person, then just give it to some software and say you work out the details.
Isn't that what I did last Friday?
Actually, yeah, you give it. I am a robot. Oh my god! I think I'm gaining sentience.
Are you questioning your own existence?
I am. I'm no, because what you just described or what I just described is what Gareth's been doing to me. So.
Ben, have you brought a story to this week's editorial meeting?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that's come out of this conversation already is the scariness of that blurring of the line between what's real, what's not real. And we've seen loads of different stories of this. So things like Tinder bots, you know, convincing me that they're interested when they're not. That's pretty upsetting.
I hope this didn't go too far for you.
No, it's not real. This is
if there are any ladies listening.
I hope you won't just like, you know, waiting at a table with like a rose to go, they'll be here soon.
I'm interested primarily in the impacts that this has on society, right? And on the blurring of the line between what's real and what's not real. I don't know if you saw this, but a couple of weeks ago, Elon Musk had to tell everybody that he was not, in fact, recommending a cryptocurrency, and that there had been a video going around that was a deep fake version of him sat on a stage talking to the co-founder of a particular
Did it look convincing? Was it a convincing deepfake?
It was so convincing that Elon Musk had to say that it wasn't real.
Right, yeah.
Yes, it was absolutely convincing. I know we talk about deepfakes a lot, in fact, last time I was on with you guys, we talked about a deepfake music video, which is wicked. But actually, it's the impact of deepfakes, of things like getting money out of people or...
Yeah, again, it's
terrifies me.
People pretending to be other people. That's what's really scary. Whether it's a robot, an AI, or where we are in sort of technology at the moment, it just means that there's another human being changing their identity. You know, as long as time has been, that is something that scares human beings. People saying they're someone and not actually being that person. It's like a childhood nightmare, right?
I don't know if you saw, I think it was last week, there were some... there were some hearings on technology in the Senate in the US. And you've got the CEO of Google answering the stupidest questions from the, you know, legislators who are supposed to understand and know how this stuff works. The problem is the gap between like the CEO of Google and the normal person. But even beyond that, where technology is going to end up is now so, so big, we can't legislate against it. There's no way to really bring in laws that control things like deepfakes, because the people writing the laws, just like you and I, don't really have a grasp on what this technology is or how it works.
Yeah.
How do you begin to build a framework?
You make a really interesting point, because I feel like we're always behind tech, yeah? And we need to really start to think about embedding government departments into government that are getting ahead of this as a whole department. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not sure I like the sound of that.
But the problem is we have government departments doing that.
They're useless.
That's the Defence Department.
But exactly, not them.
Yeah,
not
let's
them.
Make sure the guys with the guns aren't getting ahead of themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they love scary tech. That whole thing is scary tech. That's why you see
they're funding the scary tech.
But yeah, well, and you see, you know, if you're at Lockheed Martin, you see walking off in Russia and Ukraine, you think we might get to use all of our shiny new weapons that we've been preparing. Like, that'd be exciting.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
There's a lot of deep fake apps that you can sort of get now, and you can put yourself on. I think I said it before, like Leonardo DiCaprio or. Any of your favourite actors. Just wondering, Chris, have you downloaded any of those?
I haven't, no. I think that'd be one of my nightmares. Who would you deep fake
yourself onto?
That is a very good question.
Wait, sorry, you don't deep fake yourself onto them, do you? It's not your face on Leonardo DiCaprio's body.
They are deep faked onto you. That would just be Chris.
No one would care. That's just one of those things where you sit your head through it.
I think you can do both.
You can do it the other way.
No, you could be in Wolf of Wall Street if you wanted to. Of course, but it wouldn't be as good.
So would this be me pretending I'm the guy from Wolf of Wall Street and it's just my.
Yeah, you're
just me speaking.
Your wonderful long hair, like.
Go for Aquaman instead. That'd be a better one.
Yeah, you'd make a great Aquaman. Little short.
Well, I hear the co-stars are lovely. So.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Elon Musk has to deny that he is backing yet another. Coin, because it was Doge coin that started all of this.
But he didn't even really back. He just tweets about it. It is interesting how he's got to the point where, because as you said, Ben, earlier, he's in some ways he's kind of a moron, but he's got to the point where history will pivot on its axis based off of his tweets, which is insane.
There's a whole load of economic theory around the idea of the greater fool, which is all. I don't want to go into it too much, but it's retail investors, right? It's when the normal person on the street is going out and making decisions around what stock to buy or what crypto coin to buy, then you know you want to get out immediately.
Mm.
Tesla, in fact, a number of his businesses hinge upon the everyman throwing their investment into it. So that's why he invests so much in things like Tesla, Twitter and stuff like that.
But that's because they don't really do any marketing, do they? Their marketing is his Twitter feed. Because people who are investing in Tesla, they're investing in Elon Musk, really, aren't they?
Like,
absolutely. And it's not even about sort of whether Tesla's making money or anything. It's just thinking, Tesla's cool. I think they're going to be cool in 3 years' time.
Yeah, and that's why Elon Musk's tweets literally move markets.
Mm.
It's normal people that are going to get fucked rather than hedge funds.
Are you thought of putting down a down payment onto a Tesla?
No, I don't have any money.
Same.
Okay.
That's why I'm bitter, really.
I was going to say, you said with our money, I was thinking, not mine.
Yeah.
I haven't invested diddly.
James is investing in Oyster Card.
I'm investing in myself, Gareth.
Yeah.
Chris, have you brought anything to the tech special, the creepy... unsettling tech special for the Cool Shit podcast and editorial meeting this week?
So I've kind of gone on both sides of the spectrum. One I find terrifying, one I find pretty cool. On the conversation of, Tesla and Elon Musk, so he actually announced recently that his Optimus Tesla bot is going to be ready for prototype in September this year.
So he's actually...
He's a cock tease with this stuff, isn't he? Like, when you was the car called the Cybertruck, and this as well, it's basically, what can we do that's going to terrify people, isn't it? Like,
and terrifying it is.
Yeah.
Got, so explain to me a little bit more about it. What is the promise with this?
Tesla bot that he's going to show the world, allegedly, in a few months, is... a 5-foot-8 bot that will just eliminate dangerous, repetitive, boring tasks, like quite laborious things.
It's going to hoover.
I guess so, yeah. So yeah, it comes
Tesla bot, Hoover, now.
Does no one watch sci-fi shows? Like, like nobody. We've really, like, this is the stuff that takes over the world. It's the robots that we treat like slaves.
I just don't think this is going to happen. I
What, you
like,
don't think that a Tesla bot will ever be created, or...
I don't think that we're going to have a Tesla bot in our house in the next 6 months, or that one will be released in the next 6 months. And I don't think that we will have... I don't think we'll have robot servants for a very long time.
Well, we have robot friends, though. That's the question.
Your toaster is kind of a robot servant.
Well, kind of, yeah, right. Yeah, no, I'd give that. So what's the other story, then? How many stories do you bring, Chris?
So the other one, quite interesting. So scientists have developed these tiny robots that can swim through the body to treat diseases. So they're shape-shifting machines inspired by origami.
How do they get in?
Well, they're about the size of, I don't know, a fingertip? So, yeah, they're described as this spinning-enabled, wireless, amphibious origami mini-robot.
Okay, and what...
And you're less scared of that than a five...
You're less scared?
No. I'm
could I do your Hoover now, please, Mr. Chris?
It is terrifying, but... You know, if this is to, you know, combat tumours, blood clots, infections that normal doctors can't really get to, there's a big point for it to be like, okay, maybe we can.
It's a good news story. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a good news story.
I think.
But then, I don't know. Does it ever come out?
Oh, right.
I don't know.
It stays in there forever?
Just swimming around? I don't know.
Do you do one at a time?
How many go in? Is it like just the one? Wait, how do they... Okay. How do they get in?
So, I think you just, you know...
There's plenty of orifices.
Yeah, that's what I'm
choose
what I'm
one.
Yeah.
Just classic, knock it back with a bit of water.
Oh, okay.
And it's in there. And then
a pill form?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not disguised as a pill. I think it is quite literally...
So it's not like when you've got a dog and you've got to put the tablet like in their food or something. You don't have to sneak it into
a
sandwich.
You don't have to trick anyone.
To be fair, out of all the stories that's been brought to the table, this feels to me like the most useful and one that perhaps is going to be achievable soon.
Right.
Are they doing this?
Well, unlike pills or fluids, these robots apparently can withhold the medicine until it reaches its target. And then release it.
Wow. It's like a little drone inside the
body.
It's
hyper, like, targeted, highly concentrated drug.
Cool.
Yeah.
That is cool, right?
Cool. I think that's technology story.
Yeah.
That's a nice one, right?
But then,
is it going live? Is it, or are you in testing phase?
It's very much just like a work in progress.
Yeah.
I think they're just trialing the actual robot. So at the moment, it can crawl, it can spin, and it can swim.
James.
Hello.
What are you thinking out of the stories that has been brought this week?
It's kind of brought things back round, because we've basically just spent 40 minutes going, look how fucked we all are, whereas that's technology that would actually be useful. So out of everything we've had, I definitely want to keep the Google AI guy, because I feel like that just... People need to know that is going on. The skin... I'm not sure how I feel about that one. The deepfake, I'm not really sure what we spoke about with your one. It was kind of went all sorts of places.
Yeah, fair point.
So, but as you always like to point out, Ben J likes to bring things along that he doesn't like.
Yeah, he likes to create anarchy in the podcast. He doesn't follow the traditional structure.
Like, I use a very, very loose definition of the word cool.
Yeah, fair. Well, so have we today, basically. So I'm probably going to have to do that annoying thing that I do and leave it on a cliffhanger. But if I haven't already put Chris's thing in before, and I'm just having that weird Mandela effect thing, and I think I've seen it in the past, then that's definitely going in.
And if people want to go and find out more about the stories in the weekly newsletter or extravaganza, where do they find that, James?
zachagency.com/cool-SHT, which we're aware is a bit of a shit URL, but there's a good reason for it, because Google didn't like it when it had the actual word shit in it.
Oh, then it brings it round all the way. Google.
Fucking Google.
All right, listen, guys, thanks very much for coming along at this lunchtime. It's great to have you both back. James, I've got a load of work this afternoon. Can you do it for me?
Yeah, anything you want, master. Your wish is my command.
Thank you very much.